This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salawatullahi wa salamuhu ala nabiyyihi al-kareem. Alayhi afdalu salatu wa atamu taslim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yasir li amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So today, insha'Allah ta'ala, it's a special night, right? Tonight is a special night. We know it to be the 21st night of the month of Ramadan, insha'Allah ta'ala. And so we need to begin with the 21st juz of the Quran. And we see that as much as it is a blessed night, we also have to give it all that we've got, inshallah. We need to be out there. We need to be sacrificing. We need to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ways that we haven't before. And we need to make sure that we stand strong in qiyam, we stand strong in dua, we stand strong in our recitation of the Quran. And we also stand strong in asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. For the night of Laylatul Qadr could be found in any one of these odd nights. And tonight is the first of the odd nights, so we need to make sure that we are going to be ready for tonight, insha'Allah ta'ala. And, you know, do as much ibadah as you possibly can. Okay, some people will be able to give the whole night, but then they might sleep through the whole day. Some people have to be awake throughout the whole day, and they can't give the whole night, so they will sacrifice a little bit more, a portion more. So take away all the extras. Take away the time that you would spend on your phone. Take away the time that you would spend chilling with family or talking to friends. Take away the time that you would be surfing the internet. Take away that time and give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of the things that we do, even if you're going to log in. For example, tonight we're going to be live streaming from the masjid, insha'Allah ta'ala, on all of the odd nights. So starting from tonight at 10:45 p.m., we will be live streaming. Tonight I'll be handling it. Two nights from tonight. So on the 23rd night, Sheikh Hudhaifa will be there. Sheikh Riyad is going to be joining us as well. And so it's important for us to, you know, log in, benefit a little bit, and get right back to our ibadah. Remember that when you are sitting, thinking, or learning about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Quran, it is also considered ibadah. And this is why we've dedicated a portion of the night when people want to rest a little bit. You know, they can sit down, rest, open up that live stream at 10:45. We're only going to be on for about 20 to 25 minutes maximum, inshallah. That's the plan. And then, you know, you continue on your way, so you can have like a little snack or rest and, you know, do some adhkar during that time. Pay attention. We're going to be encouraging people, you know, in the best ways that we can to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout this time. And so please do try to log in and share that as well. Those of you that are on Facebook or Instagram, I've shared the posters there. Please do share that poster on your WhatsApp groups. Share it with others. Try and drive all of our community to you know, the live streaming tonight and all of the odd nights, insha'Allah ta'ala. I do know that in Milton we are somewhat split. So, you know, those that are following, you know, the beginning of Ramadan with the masjid, we started, you know, on what we consider to be the first day of Ramadan. And then there's, you know, some that went with a different decision and decided to start on that Saturday, the following day, right? So we started fasting on a Friday, they started on a Saturday, which means that some people will consider the odd nights to be, you know, the nights that we are considering at the masjid to be the even nights, which is a little bit of a problem. It is problematic, but alhamdulillah, you know, it is what it is. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for all of us to be united in our hearts, as much as we may be divided in terms of the days that we began fasting and the nights that we might consider to be Laylatul Qadr. You know, we need to continue to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best ways possible. And so let's try to be united in our hearts and united in, you know, what we try to do moving forward, inshallah. Let's begin with the 21st juz of the Quran. We are continuing Surah Al-Ankabut, and we'll look at an example in verse number 46. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here not to debate with others over religion. Like, don't debate religion with others. And if you have to, then speak to them in a nice way. So Allah says, do not argue with the people of the book unless gracefully, except with those of them who act wrongfully, and say, we believe in what has been revealed to us and what was revealed to you. Our God and your God is one, and to him we fully submit. So my brothers and sisters, we see here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us, just adjust my chair a little bit, there we go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that with regards to the people of the book, we are not supposed to argue with them. We should have some sort of connection with them and try to, and when we say the people of the book, we mean the Jewish and the Christian communities. As Muslims, Jewish, Christians, there are common grounds, right? There are common grounds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that a few times in the Quran, but here in verse number 46 of Surah Al-Ankabut, he tells us, don't argue with them, don't debate with them. Right? Talk to them nicely, speak to them nicely. We need to find the commonalities in our religion. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us and say to them, we believe in what has been revealed to us and what was revealed to you. And this is true. As believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Muslims, we have to believe in the books that came to the previous prophets and messengers as well. And so part of our belief is to believe that the Bible is a true book that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Prophet Isa alayhi salam. But the current Bible, the one that has been changed and changed and changed and changed, is not the one that we are going to accept. We accept that the Bible, yes, is a holy book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the original scripture, the original laws, the original rules, the original statements that were mentioned in the Torah, in the Injil, I should say, you know, that is what we believe in. And so when we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say, Amantu billah wa malaikatihi. I believe in Allah and His angels. Wa kutubihi. And His books. All of the books of the past. Wa rusuli. And His messengers. Wal yawmil akhir. And the day of judgment. Wal qadr. Khayrihi wa sharri. And the good and the bad of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that comes to us on earth. And so from all of these, you know, six principles that we follow, or six pillars that we believe in that completes our belief, my brothers and sisters, we need to let others know that we believe that the true book that came down, yes, that is true. Yes, that book is divine. Yes, you know, there are messengers, prophets that came in the past. And we believe that, and we believe that those books are true books. However, we don't follow them. We don't follow it now because another book came. So over time, when another book came, known as the Bible, all the previous scriptures, we the people of that time, they were not to follow it. That is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the way of God. Then when another book comes and the last and final messenger that came, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send or has sent, is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the last book that was sent to that prophet is the Quran, right? The last book that came to any prophets. And of course, the last prophet and messenger is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, you know, we believe that all of those books are divine and came from Allah, but we follow the last one, right? Even though we might find the original scripture of the Torah, we might find the original scripture of the Injil, but we don't live by it. It's not our law anymore. It's not our legal, you know, judiciary system to follow within from a religious perspective. We don't follow that, right? We follow the Quran. And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us, don't argue with others over religion. Don't debate with them. Right? And he says, ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. Call and invite people nicely with kind words, right? And, you know, explaining things to them. وجادلهم. And if you have to, you know, debate with them, بالتي هي أحسن. Debate in a nice way, in an honest, true fashion, where you are not insulting each other's beliefs and religions and books and traditions and so on. That's absolutely important, my brothers and sisters. We as Muslims have been taught not to insult other people's religions. We have been taught not to disgrace other people's religions. We have been taught not to, debase or make people feel bad because of what they believe in that's different from what we believe in, right? We are not allowed to do that as Muslims. And so we need to be respectful while at the same time upholding our values and saying, no, this is what I believe in and what we believe in as Muslims. Yes, we understand that you have your book and you have your scripture, but at the same time, we follow this. And we don't just submit and say, no, we're going to follow what you follow as well, right? That's important for us to understand. We move on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us in verse number 56, O my believing servants, my earth is truly spacious, so worship me alone. Ya ibadi alladhina amanu, inna ardi wasi'atun, fa iyaya fa'budun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us as the believers, as the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that His earth is vast. And so wherever we go on earth, whatever country we decide to travel to or reside in or settle down or migrate to, we do for the sake of pleasing Allah. And wherever we go, we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, there are certain limitations, as in, you know, this is a general statement. There are places where we don't, or we are not encouraged to worship or to do any kind of act of ibadah. For example, you know, going into the bathroom, that's not a place that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or any religion, right? It's a place that you go to relieve yourself and you come out, right? It's not a place for any, you know, religious aspect at all or elements at all. But we see that the world itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing us, don't be restricted by borders. Don't think that you have to live in Mecca, or you have to live in Medina, or you have to live in Jerusalem in order to be a good Muslim. Don't think that you have to live in a specific region of the world, or, you know, in a country where the majority of the people are Muslims, so that you can be a Muslim and practice Islam. We as Muslims have the ability to, alhamdulillah, especially here in Canada, you know, we can be Muslim. Right, we can openly say that we are Muslim. Right, we can, you know, worship Allah in our masajid and outside if we need to. If we need to stop somewhere, we go away from people. Our religion teaches us that you are not allowed to pray in the pathways. Right, from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can't block traffic. You can't block pedestrian traffic as well. You can't be praying in a place where people need to pass through. And that's important, my brothers and sisters. A lot of the time, we never see people do this, and maybe it's because people don't know. But from the Sunnah is that we do not block the pathways of people who need to pass through. And at Jum'ah time, sometimes we see that, you know, people are blocking the streets and stopping their car wherever they want and just going and praying. That's against the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we can't do that, my brothers and sisters. We need to be careful of doing that as well. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ ثُمَّ إِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O my believing servants, my earth is truly spacious, so worship me alone. Every soul will taste death. Then to us you will all be returned. As for those who believe and do good, you see, belief and doing good is always paired together, subhanAllah, almost always, right? Believe and do good deeds. Believe and do good deeds. Believe and do good, right? It's important for us to follow through our belief with good actions. We need to show others. It's not about just showing off and showing others that this is the way of Islam, but it's part of our belief that I have to do this. It is my responsibility to do this. I have to be a good person. I cannot be someone that breaks the law. I cannot be someone that just gives in to my desires and does what I want to do. Because Allah tells us, and we learned this before, my brothers and sisters, listen to this. You know, this whole COVID-19 thing, in some provinces or some cities or some areas, depending on the country that you're in, you know, we have to respect the law. If the law is based on the advice that we're given from, you know, healthcare professionals, that we should not be interacting with each other, and there's this need for social distancing. People are getting tired of social distancing, so they're breaking the law and coming together and, you know, getting into people's houses or spending time together, or, you know, just pretending like no one's gonna know. But we don't do things for the sake of people knowing. We do things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we give in to our desires and say, oh, you know, let's just do it, you know, we're tired of this, I'm not going to be following the, I don't want to be treated like a sheep, right? But subhanAllah, why? Why do we think of it that way? The hadith says, imamun adilun, a just ruler or a just leader, right? Someone who leads their people. People need to follow. If something is important for us to do, we have to follow. Our deen is about following. We shouldn't consider ourselves just sheep, right? We should consider ourselves I'm doing what is right according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I'm not going to break the law. I'm going to respect, you know, what has been put in place. And I'm going to put my desires aside, my desires of wanting to just chill and mingle and chat and be friends and have fun and hang out. I will put all of that aside for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I know that what is mentioned in the Quran, like we learned, what was learned or what was mentioned in the Quran, is that when we give in to our desires, we technically, in the end, what we are doing is we are worshipping ourselves. We are turning ourselves into gods. Our own desires is what we submit to. And we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers and sisters, and I say that very clearly, very openly, very simply. You know, at times we feel, oh, you know, let's just do it. It's okay. No. What is right according to Allah? What is right according to Allah? Do we see, you know, very big famous scholars of the world? Do we see them going and saying, ah, it doesn't matter? No. They are all leading by example, showing, and especially those that are doing the right thing, right? Showing us, leading by example, trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also take the necessary means. So if that's what's good for us right now, put the desires aside. Every single one of us wants to give in to our desires. And as Muslims, alhamdulillah, sometimes we, you know, it's like a claim to fame. Like, I've never drank alcohol. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never done anything haram and so on. All of the major haram things, you know, Muslims are like, alhamdulillah, we're free from that. Well, this is a test. This is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, staying away from others and remembering that the whole world, we can travel to it. But at times when we need to buckle down, it's time to buckle down. And this is a time. So Allah shows us you can worship Allah everywhere. You don't need to be in the masjid. You can be at home. You can be in your backyard. You could be on your front lawn, right? Sit down, recite some Quran. The other, you know, a few days ago, my wife was sitting down outside on the grass. It was beautiful weather. She had her, you know, the translation of the Quran. She was reading the Quran and reading from the translation, you know, sitting outside on the grass. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't need to be in the masjid to do ibadah. You could take your sajjada, your prayer mat, go in your backyard and pray. You know, I remember so many times we go over, one of my good friends, Hamad, I don't know if he's watching right now. Good friend of mine, Hamad, he lives in Mississauga. You know, almost every time we go to his house, especially, you know, before he moved to this home that he's living in now, we always used to go over for dinner and pray in the backyard. Such a peaceful thing. Stand in the backyard, you hear the nature, the sun just set, beautiful fresh air, Allahu Akbar. You know, you pray your salah. You're not using big loudspeakers or anything. You're just with your family. You know, you're praying your salah. That's beautiful, right? And so my brothers and sisters, you don't need to be in one place to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The world is vast. Go and travel. Be there. Wherever you settle, alhamdulillah. But do your ibadah. Don't give up. Don't sacrifice that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, says, as for those who believe and do good, we will certainly house them in elevated mansions in paradise, under which gardens flow, to stay there forever. How excellent is the reward for those who work righteously, those who patiently endure and put their trust in their Lord. Allahu Akbar. They patiently endure. Patience, my brothers and sisters. Be patient. Wait. Wait. Be patient. You know, we all want to give in to these desires, but be patient and endure the hardship. Our children are frustrating us. Endure the hardship. You know, your friends are nagging at you. Let's get together. Let's do this. Endure the hardship. You know, people are saying, come on, man, this is nonsense. Let's just, khalas, like enough of this. No, endure the hardship. Why? Because when you do that and you sacrifice for Allah, there is a reward waiting for us that we can't even imagine. And the problem with those who give in too quickly is that they haven't comprehended what the reward actually is. Of course, we can't comprehend, no doubt. We can't think of what Jannah is. But they may not have even sat to think for a minute. You know what? If I'm just a little more patient with this, Allah will give me something even better. So my brothers and sisters, we have to do that. That's important for us. Let's move on, inshallah. Feeling like a bit of a sore throat, having a slight difficulty in teaching right now, but Allah will make it easy, inshallah. We move to verses 1, 2, and 3 of Surah Ar-Rum. And Allah begins this surah by saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alif Lam Mim. غلبت الروم في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Mim, the Romans have been defeated. But wait, Allah then says, in a nearby land, they've been defeated. Yet, following their defeat, they will triumph. Within 3 to 9 years, fi bid'i sinin, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, within 3 to 9 years, they will triumph, right? The whole matter rests with Allah before and after victory. And on that day, the believers will rejoice. So, alhamdulillah, you know, history is interesting for those history buffs. You know what we're talking about. You know, the Romans, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the trench that we'll see in the coming surah. You know, all of these things are really interesting to learn about. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here that such a powerful nation was destroyed or overcome. And then they themselves will have victory, but only to fall again afterwards, right? And look, in the next few ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out in verse number 8 to 10, signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, telling the Meccans, the people of Mecca, the Quraysh, of the previous nations who were much stronger than them. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. I'll read through it in English, okay? Verse number 8, 9, and 10 of Surah Ar-Rum, the Romans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, have they not reflected upon their own being? Allah only created the heavens and the earth and everything in between for a purpose and an appointed time. Ooh, my connection is paused. All right, it's back. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yet most people are truly in denial of the meeting of their Lord. Have they not traveled through the land to see what was the end of those destroyed before them? They were far superior in might, right? The Romans were far superior in might. They cultivated the land and developed it more than these Meccans have ever done, right? Of course, the Meccans is not mentioned there, but more than these have ever done. Their messengers came to them with clear proofs. Allah would have never wronged them, but it was they who wronged themselves. Then most evil was the end of the evildoers for denying and mocking the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, check this out. Who were the Romans? Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, the famous, you know, historian as well as mufassir of the Quran, he says, Ibn Kathir says, they are the descendants of Al-Is, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Ibrahim. So the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then through Ishaq and through Al-Is, their descendants, right? So they are the descendants of Al-Is, the son of Ishaq, the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Cousins of the children of Israel, as in cousins of Banu Israel. Known as Banu al-Asfar. Okay, they are known as Banu al-Asfar. They followed the religion of the Greeks and they worshipped 7 planets that were facing the North Pole, right? 7 planets facing the North. So my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here, you know, look, He created things for us to realize and recognize, and for those of the Quraysh, don't they realize who these Romans were? You know, these people, great, powerful people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating to us, you know, the people of the past, their strength, their power, their might, so great, yet Allah makes them tumble. And if that's what is done to such a great nation, then what can be done to us? You know, look at us nowadays. We think that we're so great and we have all the technology and all the power and all the superpowers and all the, you know, the intricate details and sophistication of life. But in reality, you know, what we're doing right now is we're taking our clothing that's made of cotton, cutting pieces of it off and putting it on our faces to protect ourselves. We're literally doing that right now. Why? Because we're protecting ourselves from a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a little thing that's so minuscule, so minute, you can't even see it, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it powerful. And so that in itself is a sign of the power and might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not be fooled by, you know, things that we see around us, and we should recognize who our Creator truly is. We then move to verses number 20 to 25. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here shows us an example. In fact, this example is highlighted at almost every single person's wedding, right? Anyone's wedding you go to, the imam or someone, you know, the... It might be the groom, his family, someone is speaking, they're going to mention these ayat from Surah Ar-Rum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says here, look. He says, one of his signs, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one of his signs is that he created you from dust. Right? From dust, from dirt. We're created from the clay, the soil of the earth. Right? Created from dust. Then behold, you are human beings spreading over the earth, right? Look at how we spread, alhamdulillah. And so Allah shows us that, look, you were dust, you were nothing, and then you became, and look, lo and behold, you think you're such great, powerful, awesome, superior people, right? And we are, we're amazing, we're absolutely amazing, alhamdulillah. But a simple example, look at this, I got a haircut, alhamdulillah. You know who cut my hair? My wife cut my hair, and I think she did an amazing job, alhamdulillah. It looks like, you know, I could honestly compare the job that she did to, you know, some really expensive barbershops that I've gone to, and she did a really good job at it. You know, it's not 100% perfect, no doubt, but no haircut is ever 100% perfect. Every time I get a haircut, there's always something. There's like a little piece here that's left or something, you know, and you pay for it. You pay so much. But as human beings, look, we can adapt to so much. And while my wife was cutting my hair, our children were sitting there and they were like in the room with us. We actually made like a time-lapse video of my hair being cut, which I'm not going to release to the public. But subhanAllah, I was telling our children, you know, look at this. At a time when barbershops and things like that are closed, our hair grows long. And you'll notice that many people, many brothers in particular right now are going to get haircuts because Eid is coming, right? So they're going to get ready. They're going to go bald. They're going to shave it all off because they can't, you know, do a decent job. And I've always wanted to own a barbershop. It's always been a dream of mine to own a barbershop. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. Ameen. Say ameen. Type it in the chat. Say ameen. I made a dua for myself and you should say ameen for me. But anyways, the point here is we adapt. And I was telling, you know, my wife and kids, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, you know, they didn't have these tools that we have, like a machine. They didn't have that. And so they would have, you know, like a knife or a dagger, and they would sharpen it really well. And then they would take that and shave their heads, right? They would shave their heads. And that's why their hair was usually all of one size. And that's why it was forbidden as well to like shave, for example, the top and leave the sides, or shave only the sides and leave the top, because there weren't like tools to do, you know, perfect, you know, fades and have it gradually go up like a little bit shorter on your ears so it doesn't go in your ears and bother you, you know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that we adapt from using like a knife to just simply shave. Imagine using your sword. Imagine going for a battle or traveling, you know, for months on end, and you just have your sword that you keep with you as protection, and you just, you know, sharpen really, really well the end of it, and you just, right, shave your hair, subhanAllah, right? That's how they used to do it, right? So nowadays, my wife, someone who's never cut my hair ever, 17, almost 18 years of marriage, very soon is going to be 18 years of marriage. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, right? You're supposed to say that as well. Just type it in, MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Be active Muslims, right? Be active Muslims. You know, she grabbed the machine today, alhamdulillah, I told her, I showed her, okay, this is what you do. She doesn't know. She's never had a haircut done in a, you know, men's barbershop. So I told him, like, okay, you go number 10 over here, and then number 7 over there, and number 3 over here, alhamdulillah, we're good to go, right? And that's it, alhamdulillah. That's so easy, so simple. And so my brothers and sisters, we can adapt. And this is what Allah is showing us in Surah Ar-Rum. We are amazing people. Allah created us so that we can, you know, we adapt with times. We adjust our personal lives. And alhamdulillah, we keep going. We are, you know, absolutely amazing. We are not like, you know, the devices that we have. You have an old model phone. Like I'm using the Samsung S6, right? The Samsung Galaxy S6, right? To live stream. That's what I'm using for my Instagram, right? But alhamdulillah, it's working fine. Is it getting better? No, it isn't, right? It isn't getting better. Technology just pretty much stays where it is. There are software updates that come out, but eventually you can't use them anymore. And what do we see recently? You know, WhatsApp said any devices that are older than so-and-so year or using these old platforms, sorry, we can't operate WhatsApp on them anymore because it's just too old of a device, right? The technology is not advanced enough. But as human beings, we continue to advance with the technology. You think of not even the Sahaba, look at Adam alayhi salam. Think of, you know, the children of Adam. Look at Nuh alayhi salam. Do you ever think that he would see, you know, an airplane in the sky and go, oh yeah, that's an airplane. They're like, oh, an airplane, what is this thing, right? It's flying through the sky. They might even run and hide and fear that this is something dangerous. But us as human beings, now we've, you know, managed to adapt with times and move on with technology. So Allah shows us, behold, you came from dust and now you are humans spreading over the earth. You're traveling and going and doing things like no one ever thought we would do ever. Alhamdulillah. And one of his signs, Allah says in verse number 21, and one of his signs is that he created for you spouses from among yourselves so that you may find comfort in them. And he has placed between you compassion and mercy. Surely in this are signs for those who reflect. My brothers and sisters, the most powerful guy out there submits to, you know, his wife. He comes home. And I'm not saying submits like, you know, khalas, he's a nobody in front of his wife. What I mean by that is he finds his support with his wife. And I say this in this way because a lot of the time men, you know, go out in society and they're like all superior and everything. But the reality is that man and every other man has come from a woman, from our mothers. And our mothers were given the strength to give birth to us. No man has been given that strength and ability to deliver a child. Only women have that strength. Only women have that courage. Only women have that ability to deliver a child. So Allah created man and woman, you know, in certain ways that alhamdulillah, we have these unique traits, but we complement each other. Like we need each other. At the end of the day, you come home, you find comfort in your spouse. Hopefully. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for all of us to find that comfort in our spouses. You know, I deal with these issues all day, every single day, almost all day. There's a problem from someone somewhere who's going through an issue with their spouse. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, to bring people from the hardships that they're in to beautiful, beautiful, pleasant, you know, times that they enjoy. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, right? From darkness to nur, to beautiful light and glowing and happiness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all ease and happiness and joy in our marriages. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and one of his signs in verse number 22 is the creation of the heavens and the earth. Right? One of his signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth and the diversity of the languages and colors. Surely in these are signs for those of sound knowledge. You know, when you think of it, diversity, alhamdulillah, we have that here in Canada. And we went through a time where it was very difficult and it became a time that was pretty easy. And now sometimes it feels like it might be getting a little bit more difficult while at the same time easier in other ways. And so Allah created us, all of us as human beings. It doesn't matter what the skin tone is. You know, I was telling my children, I tell them stories about places I travel to all the time. And last week we were talking about Africa. And, you know, how I love absolutely, like I can't express it enough. I love traveling to Africa, the continent, doesn't matter where. And in fact, there's anyone here who's from Niger, I need your help. I have a friend who was my roommate, who was one of the closest friends of mine when I was a student in Medina. He's gone back to Niger, and I need to find him. I cannot get in touch with him. He, you know, they don't have much technology. They don't have much wealth, but I need to find him. His name is Siraj, Suraji Malam Abu. So if any of you are from Niger, or you know someone in, maybe it might even be a student in Medina or a graduate from Medina, if any of you might know someone from Niger, more particularly Niamey, then let me know, inshallah ta'ala. I really, really, really want to find one of my friends. But anyways, I was saying, I've been telling, you know, I tell my children, I love going to Africa. And one of the beautiful things over there, you're not judged. You know, you don't feel judged. And I know people say, oh, you're the white man who's gone to Africa, that's why. No, 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 right? Because as white as my skin might be, I'm not truly considered the white man because I am sort of mixed, right? I have some Pakistani blood in me. But we're not talking about colors here. What we're talking about is, or specifics, we're talking about people who accept people for being people. You know, you're a human. And one thing I love, all of the African countries that I've been to, and these are like more, they're not the northern African countries like Egypt, Morocco, Tunisia, Algeria, and so on, but just south of that, all of the other countries that I've gone to, whenever you meet someone, they call you your brother. They might be a different religion. They might be people who are, they might be mushrikun, right? But they call you your brother. Why? Because you're brother in humanity, sister in humanity. And they treat each other like that. You pull up at a shopping center, or you pull up at a store, a restaurant outside, and you're parking your car. And there's a man there who's like, oh, my brother, be careful. There's something here on the floor. Your tire might get damaged. MashaAllah. They call you your brother. Over here, it's like, hey, careful. Or they might not even care. They'd be like, oh, mind your own business, right? Don't get involved in it. You know, if you say something to him, there's liabilities involved, right? No, subhanAllah, you go to Africa, people call you your brother, they call you your sister. SubhanAllah, over there, it's like, you know, if you don't call someone a sister, it's like an insult. Like, what? I'm different? Something wrong with me? I'm not your sister? Everyone calls each other brother and sister. I love that about Africa. In fact, I actually sometimes think to myself, we should just relocate, move to one of the African countries, live with simple people, a simple lifestyle, establish a masjid, teach people, and just be there. Live simply and do lots of khair and be recognized with Allah for, you know, establishing masajid and teaching people and helping people come out of poverty and empowering others and so on and so forth. That's a passion I have, and I could talk about it for the whole night, but we need to move on, subhanAllah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 23, and one of his signs is your sleep by night and by day for rest, as well as your seeking his bounty in both the day and the night. Surely it is, surely in this are signs for people who listen. And one of his signs is that he shows you lightning, inspiring you with hope and fear. And we learned this about the lightning and the thunder, right? In Surah Ar-Ra'd. And he sends down rain from the sky, reviving the earth after its death. Surely in this are signs for people who understand. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. And then he continues, and one of his signs is that the heavens and the earth persist by his command. Then when he calls you out to the earth just once, you will instantly come forth. As in when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the command for us to resurrect, we will come back to life from death. And to him belong all those in the heavens and the earth. All are subject to his will. So look at the beautiful, you know, examples from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See that? Even Sister Nurul is saying, yes, that's true. My Nigerian friend who is a Catholic calls me her sister and treats me like her sister. And it's not just Africa, my brothers and sisters. There are some other countries as well, like Malaysia. Absolutely amazing akhlaq. Amazing, amazing akhlaq. In, you know, Malaysia, Indonesia, Singapore, you know, that region of the world. Birrul walidain. Birrul walidain, as we'll see. In fact, you know what? Let's skip forward. We'll talk about that. We're going to Surah Luqman, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in verse number 54 the stages of life. But we're not going to go through that. You can read through it yourself, inshallah. In fact, let's just mention it. He says, it is Allah who created you in a state of weakness, then developed your weakness into strength, then developed your strength into weakness and old age. He creates whatever he wills, for he is the all-knowing, most capable. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in a state of weakness. When we were born children, we were like, you couldn't even eat. Your mother had to, like, you know, put the milk right into your mouth and then you drink, right? And, you know, when it came to food and when it came to sitting up, we couldn't sit on our own and we would fall down and our mothers and fathers would hold us up. And then we couldn't stand and we would fall and they would hold us. And we couldn't walk and they would hold us until we could walk. And then we couldn't run. And then we couldn't ride a bicycle. And then we can ride a bicycle. All of these stages, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, you were created in a state of weakness and then developed your weakness into your strengths. And then developed your strengths into weaknesses, right? We get older, we start to forget. I can't remember, we start to forget, right? And so our strengths become our weaknesses. And at times that strength is the weakness, because I'll give you an example. When someone retires, like when my father retired a few years ago, he couldn't sit still. So he kept on working and working and working at home, like, you know, digging the backyard and putting new grass and building something in the house and changing the tiles in the kitchen and, you know, fixing the walls. He's like, I can't sit down. So your strength becomes your weakness because you run yourself too much. And then eventually, you know, your body starts to shut down. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, your strength into weakness and then old age. And he creates whatever he wills. We move to Surah Luqman. Here, Surah Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us this beautiful advice, right? Beautiful advice from Luqman to his son. And he says, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانَ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ شِرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remember when Luqman said to his son, when advising him, oh my dearest son, never associate anything in worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For associating others with him is truly the worst of all wrongs. It is the worst of the worst things that you can do. You think that drinking alcohol is the worst? No. You think that consuming something that is haram for yourself and harmful to your body is the worst? No, it's bad. It's terrible, but it's not the worst. You think that zina is the worst, right? Some people will say, yeah, you know, I committed this mistake in my life. Will Allah forgive me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives and has the ability to forgive everything. But there's one thing that even though he has the ability to forgive, he chooses not to. He chooses not to. What is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive shirk. Those who die in a state where they are worshipping other than Allah, as in they associated in their worship or seeking out other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Luqman tells his son, you know, the worst of all wrong things is to associate a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your ibadah. And then he says, وَوَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ. Look at this, my brothers and sisters. And we have commanded people to honor their parents. Their mothers bore them through hardship upon hardship. And their weaning takes 2 years. It's not like the child is born and khalas, right? The child is born and it's another 2 years of constant effort and then continuous effort as well, right? It's 2 years of you know, feeding. And then the child starts to feed on their own. And then it's like, okay, talking and walking and running and learning and reading and all of these things, subhanAllah, right? But look, I mentioned Birr al-Walidain. There isn't a nation or a region on earth that I have gone to that I have seen Birr al-Walidain stronger or more better practiced or so admirable more than Malaysia. Hands down, Malaysia, and then I will include Singapore and Indonesia as well, right? Because they're like the Malay people, right? Subhanallah. You know, Birr al-Walidain over there. If there's one thing, I honestly felt bad leaving Malaysia. I felt bad because we had lots of good friends, because it was an amazing lifestyle, because it was simplicity of life, because, you enjoy your time, right? Because, alhamdulillah, people are accepting of one another. And, it's not like what you see in the news and in the media. It's just absolutely amazing. But what really, hurt me leaving was I'm taking my children from a place where birrul walidain, where showing honor and respect and obedience to parents is like ripe and in its prime, to a place where over here it's like, oh, it's Mother's Day once a day in the year. It's Father's Day once a day in the year. It's like, let's just remember each other every now and then. And, I don't have time for you. I'm busy. I need to pay my bills. And, we disregard our parents and we just leave them to live their lives and we live our lives and everyone's just living separate lives. Subhanallah, I've seen in Malaysia, look, a child comes home from school, takes his mother or father's hand and kisses it. Not only do they kiss it, and this is the part I don't really like, they put their head down and touch their forehead to their mother or father's hand. This is one thing to kiss it, another thing to bow down. We don't bow down to anyone, but it shows that humbleness, right? No one is perfect, but subhanallah, they're so humble in the way that they conduct themselves. And it's not just the children. If I was at my age, a Malay in Malaysia, right? A Malay. And subhanAllah, people came to visit. And some of the people that came were my mother and father. As soon as they came in, the Malaysians will get up and they will go and they will welcome their parents. They won't just be like, hey, mom, how's it going? Assalamualaikum. Yeah. Women are over there in the kitchen. No, they'll get up and they will bring them in and they will kiss their hand. It doesn't matter if you're 30 or 40 or 50 years old. You will take your mother and your father's hand and you will kiss their hand and you will bring them in and you will give them the spot to sit in where you are sitting and you will get them their food and you will serve them and you will, subhanAllah, it's not ghulu. They don't take it to the next level. There are some cultures, and I know some people will start to say, but our culture does that. There are some cultures that do it to an extent where they are forcing their children to do something and their children don't want to do it. And they are at times blackmailing their children, emotionally blackmailing their children. Like, if you don't do this, I'm going to disown you and stuff like that. No. In the Malay world, what I've seen is people doing birrul walidain because they truly and honestly respect their elders. And I will just add this one thing to it, because we're talking about it. We're talking about Luqman giving advice. The respect that is given is not only to parents, my brothers and sisters. It's given to people of knowledge. It's given to people that are older. If you were someone that went and visited someone's house, for example, you're 40 years old, 50 years old, you come with me, we go to Malaysia, I can guarantee you, we walk into one of my friend's houses and his kids see you, they'll take your hand and they will kiss your hand. They don't even know you. They don't know your name, nothing. They'll come and they will kiss your hand out of respect. Out of respect to their parents and out of respect that you are older than them, and they will sit nicely and quietly and they will respect you. When it's time for them to play, they'll run around like monkeys. MashaAllah, they'll run and jump and play and they're having so much fun. But when they're in front of elders, they're respectful. Allahu Akbar. Now I want to move back to Malaysia. Luqman continues and gives advice. He says, Ya bunay, aqim as-salah, wa'mur bil ma'roof. وَنْهَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the advice that Luqman is giving to his son. He says, Oh my dear son, establish prayer, encourage what is good, and forbid what is evil, and endure patiently whatever befalls you. Surely this is a resolve to aspire to. So whatever happens to you, be patient with it, but establish prayer. Because prayer teaches us how to be patient, my brothers and sisters. You want to go and chill, but it's time for salah. You're patient with what's going on in the world and what you want to do. And you submit to Allah. And you reject your desires of going and doing something else. Because your desire to please Allah is greater than your desire to go and chill. You see that? It's amazing, isn't it? And then he says, and do not turn your nose up to people. Don't be like, who do you think you are? Do you know who I am? I am so-and-so person. No, don't turn your nose up, right? Be calm. Be composed. Have respect and honor. Be someone of honor as well. And so he says, and do not turn your nose up to people, nor walk pridefully or arrogantly upon the earth, right? Don't walk as though you own this earth. Walk as though you are a servant to the earth, right? You are going to look after this earth. Why? Because Allah, we are a servant of His, and He created the earth. And so we are going to look after this earth. And then he says, surely Allah does not like whoever is arrogant and boastful. He then says, be moderate in your pace, right? Be moderate in your pace and lower your voice. For the ugliest of all voices is certainly the braying of donkeys. No one likes to hear someone just yelling and screaming, right? No one likes to hear noise constantly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be people that are composed, that have honor, that have respect, that treat ourselves with honor and respect as well. We are Muslims, we are humble, we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He created everything around us. So we can't be people that are arrogant thinking we own this, because we don't own it. Everything that's been given to us is just given to us in trust. Allah will take us back and everything will remain behind. Or Allah will take everything and we will remain here until we return to Allah. So my brothers and sisters, remember, don't give in to your desires. Submit to Allah. Be patient. Be kind. Be honest. Be trustworthy. Be truthful. And honor your parents, even if your parents have passed away. Even if your parents have passed away. Honor your parents. For if your mother is still alive because your father has passed away, honor her. And if your father is alive because your mother and your mother has passed away, then honor him. And if both of your parents have passed away, then honor them by being nice to their friends and to family and to relatives. For my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the best of the hereafter. Ameen. That is all the time that we have. I didn't even get into Surah Sajda, nor did I get into Surah Al-Ahzab. And Surah Al-Ahzab has, the story of the battle of the trench, Al-Khandaq. But we are going to be going live tonight, inshallah, at 10:45 from ICCM. So you will be in the comfort of your home, and I will be in the masjid, and I will be showing you what the inside of the masjid looks like, inshallah ta'ala. So please don't show up at the masjid, because we will not be allowing people in. We will be live streaming from there. And inshallah ta'ala, 10:45 tonight, right here, wherever you're watching from, we will be live streaming again at 10:45 tonight, because it's the 21st night. And then on the 23rd, and on the 25th, and on the 27th, we have something special for you on the 27th. You know, Sheikh Hudhaifa will be with us as well. He'll be leading two raka'ah. He'll be doing the witr with a dua, inshallah. So, you know, we'll be live streaming that to you. And inshallah ta'ala, afterwards, you know, I will speak to you and you know, we'll learn together, and we will share some moments together, inshallah ta'ala. So please do share it with your friends and family. I've shared the poster on the social media platforms. Please do share it with your families to log in tonight and all the odd nights, even the 29th night, okay, at 10:45 p.m. Toronto time. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wa barakallahu fikum. Oh, yes, and Quran Quest. Sorry, Haseeb, jazakumullahu khairan. Quran Quest starts in a few minutes. So it's going to go live in a few minutes. So those of you who want to participate, Quran Quest, 5 questions every day for the last 10 days of Ramadan, and there will be 10 winners. So we have prizes for the top 10, inshallah ta'ala. Please do check out the ICCM Instagram account, or if you're on the ICCM WhatsApp mailing list or the WhatsApp groups, you'll be able to receive the link every day. There's a new link. So there is a new link every single day. It will be posted in the bio of the ICCM Milton Instagram account. Even if you don't have Instagram, you can just go to it. Just type in ICCM Milton Instagram. Go to the page that opens up. You'll see a link there. Click on the link that will send you to the 5 questions. You have 24 hours from iftar until iftar the following day to answer those questions. Once iftar comes, the questions are closed off and a new set comes out. Okay, so please do take part in that. And last year we gave away 2 MacBooks, and this year we have 10 prizes to give away, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. We'll see all of you soon. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa sallallahu alaihi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.